Welcome to the first quarter 2025 conference call. I now hand over to Mr. Philippe Palazzi, Chief Executive Officer, and Mrs. Angélique Cristofari, Chief Financial Officer of Casino Group. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon from my side, Philippe Palazzi speaking. I will start an introduction and after I will hand over to Angélique will enter in details of our figures for the first quarter of 2025. I mean, the first quarter 2025 was marked by concrete progress, I must say, in the rollout of the Renouveau strategic plan that we have unveiled in November 2024. What's about the plan is streamlining our store network, which is a key topic for us, and an acceleration of our rollout of our new concepts. The results for 2024, like those for Q1 2025, are still strongly impacted by the past. Nevertheless, sales remain steady in the Q1 2025. We have taken tough and concrete decision to save the group. These actions have a short-term impact on the group, obviously, but they are necessary to ensure its long-term future. Our strategic plan is promising, even if it cannot yet generate significant effects at the group level, it will enable us to build on our momentum and move away from the save phase to our project to the recovery phase starting in Q2 2025. The group is on the move, as you see, making clear choices to build a more profitable and agile business model, less volume but more value. The rollout of the strategic plan is delivering on its promises, but it's still in its early stages. In Q1, we have accelerated the rollout of new differentiating concepts, such as Oxygène at Franprix, La Ferme at Naturalia, La Cantine at Monoprix, and Cœur de Blé at Casino, which was started in April, with pilot stores, three at La Cantine for Monoprix and one Cœur de Blé at Casino. Renewal is not longer a word, or renouveau, I must say, is not longer a word, but a concrete reality on the shelf or on the field. We are seeing a positive sign whenever the plan is deployed at Naturalia. We see a sales volume growth double digit at La Ferme Concept, at Monoprix with a strong growth in fashion and home decor segment, and particularly in the e-commerce that we have reshape the digital platform in June 2024. At Cdiscount, which has strengthened its marketplace model. I'm delighted that the concept that embodies our strategy are already outperforming the market. We have laid solid foundations thanks to the financial, managerial and organizational restructuring that has taken place in recent months. And we will continue, obviously, to do so. The rationalization of our store network will continue over the coming months. We are accelerating in our three key markets, daily food shopping, quick meals solutions, and new everyday services. Finally, we are implementing a cost-cutting plan at the head office level, rental levels, and through CapEx optimization. I'm now handing over to Angélique, who will present the figures of the Q1 before we answer your questions. Thank you, Angélique.
Good evening, everyone. As you know, we've just issued our press release, and I will now provide you with a brief overview of those figures for in case you've not had the opportunity to review it. Overall, in terms of revenue, the main takeaways from this quarter are the improvement in like-for-like sales compared to the previous quarter and the significant calendar effect, which relates to either the 2024 leap year and the Easter date, which shifted to April in 2025. The group sales for Q1 amounted to 2 billion euros, which are down 1.2% on a like-for-like basis compared to 1.8% decrease in Q4 last year, and in total, they are down 5% after taking into account a 2.7-point impact of the streamlining of our network and a 1.1 calendar effect. As for convenience brands, Monoprix, Naturalia, Franprix, and Casino, they recorded a 0.7 like-for-like decline versus a 1.2 decline last quarter. Going into the details, I would say that Monoprix recorded a like-for-like decline of 0.6 after minus 1.4 last quarter, underlying a growth at Monop by 2%, a drop at Monoprix City by 4.9%, where the food segment reduced by 1.2%. However, the Monoprix City trend is still sustained by its non-food sales, in particular, this excellent dynamism of the fashion segment, which was this quarter growing by 3.7%, and the very good performance of the home segment as well. E-commerce is supporting the trend with sales up plus 2.1% over the quarter, including plus 36% increase for home and fashion. Naturalia is showing a strong momentum of the like-for-like sales growth by 7% this quarter, still driven by plus 8.2% increase in its footfall and the success, as Philippe mentioned, of the La Ferme concept, which shows double-digit GMV growth in stores already converted during 2024. Franprix sales, these were down by 1.7% like-for-like, in line with what we commented last quarter, and these are still penalized by the price cut effect, which we started in September 2024, the non-renewal of the dilutive commercial operation, so-called Bibingo, which was in January 2024, so not renewed this quarter, and this assumed decline in e-commerce sales on the website and the app of Franprix, which the reason for this being that we expect now the e-commerce to be driven by the acceleration of quick commerce with partner marketplaces, Uber Eats and Deliveroo. Franprix continued to gain customers over this quarter for plus 2.4% after plus 1.8% in Q4 last year. Casino sales were down 1.9% like-for-like since March was marked by a seasonal slowdown that occurred earlier than last year due to Easter falling in April and the shift in European tourist holidays also. The quarter was marked by the continued streamlining of the store network, the development of services, and the good performance of seasonal stores in January and February. We already mentioned that it was the same in December last year. As for Cdiscount now, like-for-like GMV was up 2% this quarter, supported by this recovery strategy plan initiated in September 2024. The marketplace GMV was up 7% this quarter, while the improvement in direct sales GMV also continued. In terms of sales, Cdiscount fell by 4.6% like-for-like, keeping on this sequential improvement already mentioned last year. At the same time, the group continued to implement its strategic plan during the quarter by streamlining its store network and rolling out new concepts. In Q1, our brands opened 31 stores. They transferred to franchise 18 integrated stores, and the store's portfolio streamlining resulted in the exit of 466 outlets. Detailed information by brand is available in the press release, and I would just comment that out of those 466, there are 320 outlets which were operated by the master franchisee Prigent Fils. In terms of the rollout of new concepts, which also accelerated this quarter, for Franprix, we have extended the Oxygen concept to 16 additional stores, bringing the total number of stores converted to 34 at the end of March. Naturalia, 5 stores were rolled out this quarter, bringing the total number of La Ferme stores to 15 at the end of March. Monoprix unveiled its Quick Meal Solutions new concept, opening 3 pilots La Cantine early April, and the first few weeks show very strong results in terms of sales, GMV, and footfall for the entire benefit of each shop. Lastly, Casino has decided to unify its various brands, Petit Casino, Casino Shop, and their single Casino brand for urban areas in order to enhance visibility and support more powerful communication. such refocusing on a single brand was illustrated in March by the opening of a new store in Lyon, a store in which Casino now offers its Cœur de Blé quick meal solution concept as well. Let's move on to adjusted EBITDA, which stands at 100 million this quarter, down 6 million compared to Q1 last year. In order to better understand the Q1 performance, you need to keep in mind that no dyssynergies were recognized in Q1 2024. As a reminder, the group has been reporting on dyssynergies since H1 2024 in its other segments. As a consequence, and excluding those dyssynergies, Q1 2025 adjusted EBITDA would have increased by 6 million year on year. Starting in Q1 2025, these dyssynergies are allocated to group entities following the implementation of shared services. Consequently, adjusted EBITDA for convenience brands are down 8 million in Q1 and would have actually increased by 3 million excluding the impact of those dyssynergies. The performance of each brand of the convenience brands would therefore have improved over the quarter, mainly thanks to, first, a sound implementation of the cost savings plan across all brands, the improvement on shrinkage at Monoprix, a lower impairment losses on trade receivables for Franprix, which was a hit to its EBITDA last year, and gain related to the transfer to franchisee at Casino. However, for Cdiscount, the 2 million decline in its adjusted EBITDA is due to the implementation of the reinvestment plan, which was decided in September, as I already mentioned. It had a 7 million euros impact on operating costs and was not fully offset by the margin improvements. In Q1, we reported a negative free cash flow before interest expense of 81 million, an improvement of 246 million versus Q1 last year. However, the figure from last year was negatively impacted by 153 million of social and tax liabilities placed under moratorium the year before and which had to be expensed in 2024. Hence, it's better to analyze that the free cash flow before interest improved by 93 million compared with the same period last year. Lastly, moving to our financial covenants. As a reminder, we have a new financial covenant set with the first date being in September 2025. As of March 25, our net leverage ratio was 14.63 based on a 90 million covenant adjusted EBITDA and a 1.3 billion covenant net debt. Our EBITDA forecast for the next two quarters indicate that the covenant set at 8.34 as of September 25 would be met. Please note that the covenant adjusted EBITDA used in this calculation does not include the expected future savings over the next 18 months, which may provide additional flexibility as set out in our financial documentation. So that concludes my presentation. Strategy is at work, and we are focused on the cost savings plan. Thank you for your attention. I will go through your question. If you could just let us some seconds to analyze this and come back to the call. Thank you.
Yeah, Philippe speaking. We start by the question that we received from Clément Genlot from Brian Garnier. The first question is the casino store network cleanup over at the end of Q1, or do we have to expect further store closure? Let me tell you first a quick recap. That means we have exited 768 stores in 2024, 466 at Q1 2025, which means sum up of 1,234 stores. And in parallel, we have entered in our network 261 stores in 24 and 31 at Q1, summing up to 292. That means the big chunk of the store network is over at the end of Q1. Obviously, we will, at a lower level, keep on cleaning up the rest of the year, but not to such value. In fact, we have closed roughly 10%. Of our store network the past 12 months, starting in April 23 up to end of March 2025. Got a second question. Can you give us an update on the service rate with your casino convenience network, which has been a key source of dissatisfaction among your franchisee recently? Yeah, obviously it was an issue while we're selling Hyper's Market and Supermarket and reworking our network, logistic network, last year. By the end of the year, we were around 91% on the entire network of casino. Year to date, Q1 2025, we are overall at 95% service level, with 95.5% on national brand and close to 93% on a private label. We are keep on investing time and energy on this topic, but compared to PY, in the coming months, we will be much better in 25 than what we were on 24, and we will be obviously the entire year well above 96%. Can you explain another question? Sorry. Can you explain a bit more your e-commerce strategy as you seem to push for third-party marketplace delivery versus in-house? Aren't there third-party online sales dilutive to margin given the commission charged by Uber Eats and Deliveroo? What I can tell you on this topic that for us is much more relative to use Uber Eats and Deliveroo than doing it in-house, that meaning will contribute positively as well to our bottom line result. Last question, post-annual negotiation with your new alliance, Aura Retail, can you help us quantifying the impact on COGS and eventually on EBITDA? The only things I can tell you on this topic is that the performance of negotiation is above our plan this year in 2025. And I'm handing over to Angélique, who will answer the question of Odo.
Yes, so Geoffroy Michalet question. First question is, what is your assumption for leverage according to credit documentation as of Q3 25 when the covenant starts to be effective? It seems you don't have much leeway given weak EBITDA despite good free cash flow. So as I commented, our assumptions, there are two sets of assumptions behind our estimate. First is that our EBITDA forecast for the next two quarters, which are quite weighted quarters over the year, indicate that the covenant will be met. And secondly, our calculation as of March 2025, and it was the same for the previous calculation, December and in the last 2024, we don't take into consideration any figure that would come and in respect to expected future savings over the next 18 months. And this is something which is authorized in our financing documentation and as such provide additional flexibility. Second question is, can you comment on your working cap variation that has strongly improved, excluding deferred charges? What were the drivers? Is this trend sustainable according to you? Were there any factoring or technical booster? So the answer is that, as you remind, it was there was significant 142 million of payment of social tax and liabilities. But this being put aside, without this impact, the working cap change is negative by 45 million, impacted essentially by payments related from 2023 that were cashed out in Q1 2024. In 2025, the working cap is negative by 4 million, better than previous year, but there is absolutely no technical booster in that variation. Comment on deteriorating EBITDA. I believe that the press release is quite detailing, providing much detail on the impact of the dyssynergies for 11 million that were not in the figure from last year. Otherwise, there is a growth in EBITDA. But I believe you have the information in the press release. Comment on CapEx, because the CapEx variation in 2025 versus last year, you could see, you could analyze that there is a reduction in CapEx, but here again, it is because the Q1 24 CapEx figure and CapEx that were cashed out in 2024 were due to commitments that were taken at the end of 2023. So we had to expense last year something that were ordered the year before. So it's more to do with the high level of last year figure rather than this Q1 25 figure, which is in line in our plan in the context of cost control. We have envelopes for CapEx, but we must keep cautious on how we control the cost that we incur and commit. On the latest deal on Monoprix with the Zuari family, is there any cash flow associated with it? We do not comment on this one. And the last question is, comment on your view on like-for-like growth versus the market. Here again, I will not comment on the competitors' performance for Q1 2025. These are all the questions we've received so far. So thank you for your attendance, and we will be happy to have a call in the near future. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.